In Torah Shraga, we came across the line, the famous line in Kedushin, Tov L'Mesav Tandu L'Mesav Amala. And it brought up a controversy that took place in the YU Gross community back in the 70s. There had been a statement, which we won't go into in any detail, to the sort of denigrating this chazakah of Chazal. It was a statement made by a prominent Rav, basically stating that the chazakah that Chazal were imparting in that line was something that was really a reaction to their times and to their setting, to their social reality, but no longer was applicable in our time. Without getting into too much more detail of what was going on with that, what's significant for us is that this prompted Rav Soloveitchik to sort of interrupt his normal shiur that he was going to be giving to the RCA, and instead give a little Musa Shmuz. The Musa Shmuz is something that the Talmidim of Torah Shraga heard a number of weeks ago. And in it, one point that the Rav emphasized, which you see in the first paragraph on the top of page 1, was that when it comes to learning Torah and implementing halacha, it's an act of surrender. It's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, emphasis on the Ol. It's an Ol, it's a yoke, it's a sacrifice that a person has to make when he learns Torah, because on the one hand, the Rav emphasized, the person has to be humble. You have to have humility when you're learning Torah, right? And you have to be prepared to be uncomfortable. It's a very important bit of Musa, because from time to time we're going to encounter in our learning issues, halachos, that appear to be difficult, appear to not sit well with our own sense of what's ethical, what's moral. Amongst these issues, and to me, one of the most striking that fits into this category, where I felt, for me, this was Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, and not for me, but for many, many other people that are put into this position, is the idea of the topic for today, which is, can you be Docha Yisurim Mishum Pikuach Nefesh for a non-Jew? Right? It's a very difficult issue, Halacha L'maisa, as well as, if not more so, the Hashkafa behind the idea. This is true not only because of personal feelings, but and that's why I brought this little piece from Rav Hirsch as just one example of what is felt by many. Rav Kook was another major proponent of this idea, to be a major difference between Yadus and other religions is the universalist motif of Yadus. We don't think that we're absegula in a certain sense, but we don't think we're the only ones. The world was created for all of mankind, and it's very difficult to reconcile that type of thinking that we're really here for everybody, and at the same time say that for a Jew, I could be Mechalel Shabbos to save his life, but for a non-Jew, I cannot. How do you understand that? How do you make sense of it? So to really tackle this issue, we're going to split our approach into two halves. Today we're going to really focus on the halacha l'maisa. What exactly does the halacha state in this regard? What type of heterim do exist, right? Because there's a lot of misconceptions about exactly how far this notion goes, halacha l'maisa. And then when we finish with that, that will really set the table for the real challenge, which is to understand the hashkafa behind it, right? To really get a sense, you know, how could this be? Isn't this racist? Isn't this unethical? Now, many people, if you turn the page, react to this entire dilemma by not being humble, by not understanding what Soloveitchik meant by Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim. I have gone to many shiurim on this topic, right? Three in particular stand out in my mind. So, on this page, you'll see one example. This article, The Responsibility of the Jewish Physician in Jewish Law, is taken from a very prominent journal for an organization called AOA. AOA is an honor medical society, right? The elite of physicians are part of this, and they all get this journal across the country. And in this journal, this individual, very, I will say, well-meaning individual, wrote an article on this topic. So, number one, you will notice, if you ever took a look, that there's very, very, very little written in English on this topic, for obvious reasons. Because no matter what you say, no matter how glorious your conclusion is, and how you're going to change Torah, right? And you're going to come out with some type of very acceptable understanding of this issue, it's never going to come out right, and it's always going to cause trouble. This particular essay caused me personally a lot of trouble. Many of my colleagues had seen it and gave me a lot of grief. They didn't read what he was saying. All they saw was, you mean to tell me that you really would not, on Shabbos, do something to save the life of me? Like, this is a non-Jewish person talking to me, or to some other non-Jew, you really wouldn't do it? Very difficult thing to deal with. It is why, as he himself writes, if you look through, was warned by many rabbanim, don't do this. Don't write this ridiculous article. But, of course, he wasn't humble. He really wasn't humble. If you look at the top, he tells us early on what he's going to be doing. It sounds very arrogant to me, and I want to emphasize this because this is a mistake that no one should ever make. I believe the observant Jewish physician has an obligation to confront this issue rather than to shrink from it, and in doing so adopt the philosophy that enables him to practice medicine comfortably and ethically in a pluralistic society. Very, very arrogant sounding, almost. In examining this problem, here's where I really felt he lost his humility. I have discovered there to be a sufficient grounds within Jewish tradition for such philosophy, etc., etc. Meaning, this is the opposite of what Rav Soloveitchik, if you go on to hear the rest of what Rav Soloveitchik was talking about, there's no such thing as this young man who was, at this time when he wrote this, he was in medical school, right? Not exactly what I would say, you know, one of the Gdolei HaDor. But he discovered the truth behind this entire halacha, which we will see and examine in a minute, but he lost his humility completely. Now, he has since done tshuva, how do I know? I once was giving a talk on this topic, right? I mentioned this to you once before, and fortunately, before I went to the tirade that I just did now, I asked, does anyone know this individual? And he happened to be there. So I got to meet him, finally, and talk to him a lot about this, and he himself said to me, exactly what I'm saying to you. He was very arrogant at that time, he felt. But he felt very strongly about the issue, and you can understand why. I feel very strongly about the issue as well. But I'm tempered, and I can't emphasize this enough, and I know I'm speaking, preaching to the choir. I'm tempered by what Rav Soloveitchik says, right? It's Kabbalah Soma Chushimai. No matter what I came up with at the end of my investigation of this topic, I have to accept it. I'm not going to make things up. I'm not going to be mechadish things that don't exist in the legitimate makaros. So the real challenge is to stick within legitimate makaros and try to understand this to the best of our abilities. He came up with a theory of Tzelem Elokim, which we're going to try to explain, because he gave credit to that to Rav Soloveitchik, of all people, which later turned out to not be true. Right? If you look on the last page, he mentions at the end of the essay that there had been a major controversy going around in Israel, where this person by the name of Shahak, right, who was a professor who was a very much, had a lot of problems with Dati people and with Dati principles. So he went around to all the papers publicizing a story that there was a non-Jew who was dying, and they went to this Orthodox person, and he wouldn't let them use his telephone to save the life of the non-Jew. And then, right, would that have been a problem, by the way? That part of the story right away was the giveaway that he's making it up. That's ridiculous, right? That was absolutely ridiculous. For him to allow someone else to use the phone to save the life of the guy, that was not even, we'll see, near the halach l'maisa truth. Nevertheless, this person publicized this issue. It was like unbelievable. It sent shockwaves throughout Eretz Yisrael and throughout the entire world that the Jewish people don't save they're willing to let the non-Jew die because of melachos of Shabbos. So a lot of Rabbanim had to get up and go out on a mission to save face. One of them is Rabbi Riskin. And Rabbi Riskin went around and he approached it from a lot of what we're going to be seeing today, right? In terms of giving the idea of, yes, you should be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a non-Jew, right? But he explained it, at least to the friendly audiences, as working within Ava or in Yenam that we're going to talk about. And then he says that at Yeshiva University, when Rav Riskin gave this talk, so Rav Yosef Soloveitchik disagreed and claimed that the concept of Tzelem Elokim was a sufficient reason to save a Gentile life on Shabbat. So that, to me, sounded impossible. Right? That's absolutely impossible that Rav Soloveitchik, who is the one emphasizing how we have to stick to the truth, would come up with something that has absolutely no makor, at least I thought at that, my first glance, no makor in Makaros. There is no makor for this idea that you could be Mechal Shabbos to save life on non-Jew because of Tzelem Elokim. We'll investigate it in a minute. Turned out not to be true. It really wasn't Rav Soloveitchik that said that, but then rumor had it that it was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. So we have to clarify that. One of the goals that we're going to have is to clarify what did these Gdolim have to say about this topic, but all of that's going to be in part two, which is going to be understanding hashkafically how this makes sense. In terms of where we need to go now, I just added at the bottom of page 3 this last section from that talk given by Rav Soloveitchik. What does Kabbalah Zol Malchut Shamayim require of the Lomei HaTorah? We must pursue the truth, nothing else but the truth. So that's what we have to do. Okay, we're going to start now by taking out the other handout and try to examine what is, let's start with the halacha. What is the halacha in regards to this issue and really get it down to its barest bones and see what halacha l'maisa we're able to do. And then, in Yetz Hashem, next week, we'll get into what is really the most challenging part, which is the hashkafa. So, let's start. How do we know that you can be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Jew? Somebody?
Everybody
knows this, right? What?
My
what?
Range is not
in the What's the limit? B'chayim, right? Yuma, Dakei, hey. Many different sugyos in Sanhedrin deal with it also. B'chayim, right? If you look in Yuma, there's really like 7 different drashos given to explain why Yom Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, even Suffolk before Nefesh, according to some of the Makayos. But the one we most accepted is B'chayim. Good. Who does that apply to? Obviously, this discussion is predicated on the fact that it applies only to a Jew. The Chaybehem does not include non-Jews. That's a given. In terms of halachic, from the halach lemaisa perspective, there's no havamina by anybody, right? With one exception that we're going to again talk about next week, that the Chaybehem could possibly apply to a non-Jew. If that's true, therefore, my starting point is I cannot do any isurim to save the life of a non-Jew. Period. Is there any out? Anyone ever hear of any way out?
I mean,
if we let the non-Jew die, chil Hashem, and that should override the isurim. This is the rise of Shabbos. It's an interesting idea, but it has no backing. Why? What did Rabbi Riskin say?
Mishum Eva.
Oh, Mishum Eva. That's not Chilul Hashem. What does Mishum Eva mean? No, that is not what Eva means. Eva is a very specific halachic principle. Here's what you can't play games. If we're going to do this right, we can't throw around phrases loosely. We have to work like poskim. We do a lach l'maisa. No poskim on, no offense, with fleety ideas. Oh, it's a Chilul Hashem. It's Eva, they're not going to... What does Eva mean? It has specific halachic implications. It isn't something that you can play around with. Right? So what's our first goal? What is Eva? So Eva, what it means as a principle, as a philosophy, means we want to make sure we're all getting along. Right? That's what Eva means. We should all get along. Right? We don't want there to be unnecessary hatred between non-Jews and Jews. So Mishum Eva, right? We're going to allow certain things to be mutter, right? what exactly we're allowed to is very, very precisely worked out. It isn't a blanket open heter.
Are we assuming the idea of Eva is the same thing as the mission of getting back there to Shalom?
There is some relationship, but not exactly have to be exactly the same thing. Some people use it interchangeably. We're going to see that it's thrown around a little bit that way. Some people are going to throw in Mishum Darkei Shalom, but they actually are different. Eva is more specifically applicable here, and it's the we're going to see the Makaris in a second that lead us the Eva way, not the Darkei Shalom way. Eva is used in other contexts, not only between the Umos HaOlam. If you look in the Encyclopedia Talmudic, you see Eva between Ish ve'Ishto. Eva is a specific concept that has a halakhic implication in several different contexts, and very specific ones between Jews and non-Jews. So where is the sugya that deals with it? Page 1 of this handout. This is the sugya of Eva, right here. Here's where we're going to get just about everything the Gemara has to say about Eva in regards to our issue. The Mishnah says, "Bas Yisrael, lo tiyaled es avodas kochavim mitnei sheyaled es ben la avodas kochav." Din, there is a din de rabbanim that a Jewish woman or man, for that matter, cannot facilitate the birth of an avodas kochavim. Why? Because what you're doing is facilitating the birth of an avodas kochav. What is this din? Right? There's a din de rabbanan lomarim lo moridim. When it comes to ovde kochavim, neutral. We take a neutral approach to ovde kochavim. Right? We don't put them into the boar. We don't take them out of the boar. Right? Lomarim means that you're not going to be megadol on them. But that's a din de rabbanan. Any exceptions? So here's where Eva comes in. Here's the introduction of the Eva. If you go down where it says number 2, Vereminu, Yehudit meyaledet ovedet kochavim bischar aval lo bechina. What does that mean? Oh, there is an exception. What's the exception? For money? Well, if you just can you imagine just printing that, the anti-Semitism that would arise from that. You're not allowed to help them give birth, but if you get money, you know. So obviously it's not about money, right? Crazy? Absolutely not. What is it about? So the next line, Rav Yosef tells us. Amar Rav Yosef, Bischar Shari Mishum Eva. Here it is. Eva. What does this mean? So, Rashi explains, and I'll just summarize it like this. What will cause Eva? Eva will be caused any time a non-Jew sees that something I willingly do for Jews, I'm not willing to do for them. That will cause Eva. Therefore, b'makom Eva, I'm allowed to be matir what? What do we know from this sugya? Isurim?
The
Rabbanan. This is an Isur de Rabbanan, that you're not allowed to be Miyalet, an Ovedet Kochavim is a din derabanan. There's no din deraisa about that. I can't do it midarabanan. But if there's going to be Eva, I can do it. Alright? Is there anything that would override Eva or avoid Eva? Yes. The whole point is, the cause of Eva is if they think there's something I would do for a Jew that I wouldn't do for a non-Jew. However, if it's clear that I wouldn't even do this for a Jew, there won't be any Eva. So, bischar, if I'm being paid, there'll be Eva. But if I'm not being paid, there is no Eva. Why not? Because I'll say to them, look, I don't do this for anybody for free. Right? I wouldn't do it for the Jew for free. I won't do it for you for free. And they'll understand that because I'm not prejudiced. I'm not singling out anybody. I'm the same across the board. I need my parnasa. Pay me, I'll do it. Don't pay me, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it for anybody. So there's no issue of Eva. That's why Bischar Shari. That's what he means. But in the Mishnah, apparently, as Rashi points out, that was for free. So if it's for free, then you have a problem.
If it's in terms of Pekuah Nefesh, isn't that like saying you...
We're not talking about Pekuah Nefesh at all right now.
If it's even
we're not talking about Pekuah Nefesh, don't bring it up.
Isn't that like saying you hate everybody equally then?
We hate everybody equally?
No,
no, no, no, no.
I want to do it for a Jew. I'm not going to do it for either.
You want to go? You want me to go to the trouble of helping you be first, right? No people of Nefesh. This is not an issue of people of Nefesh. This
din
is not related to people of Nefesh. No people of Nefesh will do it at all. Okay? No, nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. The din here is very simple. Right? And we're talking about, are we talking about Shabbos? Does this have anything to do with Shabbos?
Not yet.
No, look, look. Does Shabbos anywhere yet? The Mishnah is talking about any day of the week. There's a din. I can't give birth to Lothi Kochovin. I can't be Miyalit Megadel. I can't nurse an Obed Kochovin too if you read on the Mishnah. And then if you read on the whole Sugya, if you learn the Sugya in the Gemara, Lomalim Lomaridin. I can't give them Refuah. I can't do these kind of things for Ovdei Kochan. It's Dinder Rabbanah. Special Dinder Rabbanah. However, if there's Ava, right? Right? Then it's okay. Ava, it's okay. No Ava, back to the baseline. It's Usser to do. And that's the whole issue. What about Shabbos?
Follow-up question.
Sure.
Obviously, I haven't learned all the Sugya of Ava. How many times is Ava up here in Shabbos itself?
It appears in many different contexts. I can't tell you.
Within this context specifically.
This is, as far as I know, the major Makor. The major Makor.
And is it qualified at all?
What? It's not qualified.
Eva.
Oh, yeah.
No, in Shas itself.
Right now.
Okay, great.
Here we go. So, again, in other words, what do you mean by qualified? How much it accomplishes? Or what is it defined as? What was your question?
What
I'm about to answer for you is how far we can go with Ava. In other words, so far all Ava does for me is matir and Isidur Abana. If there's an Isidur Esa that needs to take place, Ava or no Ava, I can't do it.
Doesn't qualify one Ava actually exists. You can say, in theory, say any time there's any Isidur.
Right, so you have to do it. Right. So, wait, say it again.
Once you can say you're going to be over Isidur Abana and Nishim Ava, then context may not matter. I mean,
it has to be Ava. It has to be Makom Ava.
I want to be
Ava,
why not?
Right, so it's defined here by Chazal, certainly, and by Rashi the following way. You're raising a good point. Rashi's honing in on it. Ava means if a non-Jew perceives that you will do something for a Jew and not for them, because they're not Jewish. That's the thing you have to avoid. That alone, any scenario that you come up with where the perception is the only reason you're not helping me is because I'm not a Jew, that's Ava. That's your definition. Okay, Rashi's very clear on it. Take a look at Rashi. What about Shabbos? What about if this is taking place on Shabbos? Does it change anything?
No.
So, Sadar of Yosef Lameimar, Uvlode Ovedis Kochavim Bishapsa. Also, Yischar Shari Yishumeiro. He says, you know what? Same thing should be on Shabbos. Also, there's Ava, right? They wanted to pay me. Now, does a Jew help another Jew give birth on Shabbos? Yes. Of course. So, it meets our definition of Ava, right? If you would do this for a Jew, you certainly can do it for me, right? That's what Rashi says. He says, Lenashe didon b'Shabbos kibachol, right? Everything you would do for a Jew, you better do for me, otherwise there's going to be Ava. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says it should also be Mutter on Shabbos. Comes along Abaye with an incredible statement. And he says, no, Shabbos is different because we can get out of the Ava. How are we going to get out of the Ava? Listen to this. And imagine me saying this to one of my patients. Ready? Yachle lemeibalehu didan deminatri shapsa mechalalin alayu. Didchu to lo minatri shapsa lo mechalalin. What does that mean? It means that I go to my patient and I say, look, I'm sorry, you know, you'll have to hang in there till after Shabbos because the Jew over there, the only reason I'm allowed to take care of him is because he's Shomer Shabbos. And so I could be mechalal Shabbos for him. But you're not mechalal Shabbos. So therefore, I cannot be mechalal Shabbos for you. End of Ava. Sound crazy? But it's not. I'm setting it up that way purposely, but it's not. You have to understand it.
You're just saying that it's the combination of the two that matter, not necessarily.
What do you mean?
It's the connection between you and Shvayi Arba.
Okay, so really, we'll have to take this further next week. This is part of the Hashkafa. Right? For now, you can be here next week?
All right. Tuesday next week?
Yeah. Okay. The we have to understand this, and we're going to deal with it a lot next week, but this is very, you're going to touch upon what you're saying, take it a little differently, but I'm going to put away the Hashkafa for a minute and just work aloch. So, bottom line is, let me just finish this thought. On Shabbos, Rabbi Yosef had a certain hava mina that Eva should exist there too, so therefore I should be able to take care of the guy on Shabbos as well, Mishum Eva, just like I could do it Mishum Eva on Chol, as long as there's payment being made, right? And comes a rabbi and he says, no, because we can avoid the Eva with this simple statement about they're not being Shomer Shabbos, they are being Shomer Shabbos. The rationale of that we're going to deal with very heavily next week. But for now, let's accept it, okay? But wait a second. What's striking, anyway? Halach mm-hmm. Olais, what does this say?
Only if there's Shomer Shabbos.
What?
Only if there's Shomer Shabbos.
Well, but what's it saying in terms of, let's say, what's the halacha now? The halacha is, we pass like a bayit, right? We absolutely pass like a bayit, which means, right, that this is really true. In real life, this is the way it is. This is the Ikar HaDin. When it comes to Shabbos, I can help them give birth, whatever that means, but Yaldin, I can deliver the baby. Mishum Eva, right? What does that say about Chilul Shabbos? I could be Machalel Shabbos Mishum Eva. On what level? Delivering a baby, what is it? The Rabbana or the Raisa? Who's up on this? Daf Kuf Zayin in Shabbos. Right? Take a look at Tosfos. Quick look at the Tosfos over here. He says, wait a second, Saba of Yosef Lameimar, Gugludi Bishabis, Bishar Shari. Tamar the Rav Yosef, the Tzal Chalat of the Shari. It's incredible, according to Rav Yosef, whose Hava Mina was that it's okay. And even the Abaye, Nami, the Mishari, Deleka, Eva, Mashmaha, Ika, Eva, Shari. He would also say it was okay, right? Heichi Sharina, Mishum Eva, Milsa, the Ispe, Isur, the Reis. Tosfos points out that to deliver the baby is an Isur d'oraisa, based on the Sugya of Shabbos, right? It's a Talmud of Gozes, Okir Dava Migidulasso. There's no debate on this, right? To deliver a baby is an Isur d'oraisa. So Tosfos is amazed. That can't be. It's impossible that Mishum Eva, we could be Matir and Isur d'oraisa. This is the starting point of everything. This is the Halacha L'maisa. We cannot use Eva to be okay, Din Darasa. Tosfos starts it right here. Nobody disagrees with that. Nobody. The debate actually is, can you even be over on all Din Darabana? Because if you look at the Ritva on the bottom right, he points out that the only thing that Eva could really allow you to do are specific Isurim Darabanan that don't involve real Chilul Shabbos. But if there's Chilul Shabbos Darabanan, something that's considered Chilul Shabbos, a Malacha Darabanan, then you cannot even do that, Mishum Eva. Meaning, according to the Ritva and many, many others, including the Rambam, the Ran, the Ra'ah, the Ra'ah, many Rishonim, you can't, Mishum Eva, even do Isurim Darabanan for a non-Jew on Shabbos. Absolutely not. Only very specific Zeros Darabanan, very specific things where they won't go there in the setting of it. Others disagree, right? The Shari Knesset Gedola mentions it, the Rashba, and even the implications of this Tosfos is that any Darabanan. But the most you'll get, Mishum Eva, is an Issa Darabanan. Okay. How do we pass in Halacha L'maisa in the Mishnah Berurah? Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Turn the page. Is this really true? Is that all we could do? So, halacha beis, kusis ein miyaldin osa b'shabbos. I am not allowed to deliver the kusis on Shabbos. So, listen to what the Chafetz Chaim says. These are among the scariest lines a Orthodox doctor could read. Listen to what he says. Kusis eniyadim v'afilu b'schar de b'chol miyadim mishum eva. But on Shabbos, according to Abaye, we lose that time, right? K'nevur yoradeh, we pass in that way in yoradeh. Hacha aser mishum v'yacholah li'ishtamek v'lomar The Mishnah Berurah is bringing down Abaye's ancient line that we might have thought very foolishly has no application in our time, right? The Mishnah Berurah is telling in his time, right? Late 1800s, early 1900s. No question, we could use that line. The Kasar Alagin Aram, Ubemakom, the Ika Lemicha Shle Eva. But let's say there really is Eva, right? Gam Bekai Gavna Shari im Ein Bachilu. V'dad harofim afilu hayoter ksherim einam nizarim bezeh klal demasim b'chol Shabbos shenosim kama parsaus v'refuah soveis kochavim v'kosvin v'sochim samamanim ba'atzma neilem amash yismachu da'afilu im neima demutter l'chal Shabbos be'isu derabana mishum eva, right? Isu deraisa bevaday asur l'chuli alma u'mechal le'Shabbos gemur mehem b'mezid Hashem yishmerem. He's talking about me. These are amazing lines in the Torah.
According to
Abaye,
what about not only the Jew who's not a summer Shabbos, partial Shabbos, or just that he's...
Great question. Shabbos. It's going to be the key to next week. Can you hear this? I'll give you the answer. The answer is how mean it is, right? Exactly like that. Exactly. Right? The very point. That's the starting point to start to feel good about yourself again. Right? It isn't a racist thing. Whatever it is, that point clearly indicates this isn't racist. Because a Jew, born a Jew, who is not Shomer Shabbos, right, is in the same category. We'll see Halacha L'maaseh, how we get out of it. It's even tougher to get out of them, right? Maybe there's no Eva there, right? But we'll talk about it.
Do I find any problems with Jews or Paskin in different ways about laws on Shabbos, whether or not you're... You keep Shabbos, or you keep different.
Like, well, that's related to what he just asked. But maybe, like, Rav Oldenburg jokes about this. Maybe when the guy comes in the hospital, part of the triage, we should like check his tzitzis. That's the expression he uses. Like, let's find out what kind of Jew are you, and then that's part of the triage. And we're going to have the critically ill Shomer Shabbos, the critically ill non-Shomer Shabbos. Right? It's like a little tongue in cheek, but right. We have to get into that. We will next week. Although it might be 2 weeks from now to raise this stuff. I just want to emphasize over and over again what the Mishnah Berurah is saying here is incredible. He's paskening. We all follow the Mishnah Berurah, right? Who doesn't hold like the Mishnah Berurah? The Mishnah Berurah is like very popular. He's mamish telling me that I am. I don't want to repeat what he's telling me about me. So and then interestingly, I point out if you look on the bottom, the little asterisk. What's the point the Chavetz Chaim is making with that little addition on the bottom? The Medinas, India, that's what that is. Sha'ad hayom ha'umos hem ovdei kochavim umazos. What's that? What's that all about? Somebody tell me, why is he adding it? Right on the line, right on the line where he's telling us there's no way you can be Mechal Shabbos Daraisa for a non-Jew. Asterisk. Of course, we're talking about the Hindus. Who else could we be talking about, right? What's that about?
You're referring to actual Lodi Zara?
Oh, so is he qualifying the Din? He's saying, you know what? Guess what? I'm giving you this whole little spiel here in Mishnah Berurah, Hashem Yishmerenu, talking about, of course, the doctors in Russia and Poland, right? Because of all the Hindus that they're taking care of on Shabbos. Does that make any sense?
No.
So what's going on here? Everybody, what? Yes! That's what's going on here. Self-preservation, which is very interesting. It's very interesting that he needs to do this, or whoever needed to do it did. If you look at current editions, you won't find this line. Being an old guy, I happen to have an old Mishnah Berurah. It was there. I looked at the current Mishnah Berurah, they left this out. I don't know where it went. What?
I mean, it was like qualifying the Din.
Well, on the one hand, it seemed to make absolutely no sense. But even more so, look at the Bir Halacha. I'm glad you asked that. Take the Bir Halacha that I understand. Kusis, he knows that the guys he's worried about that are reading the Mishnah Berurah obviously are not reading the Bir Halacha. Right? Because what does Bir Halacha say? Behu adin yishma'ilis. Right? Okay. A Muslim woman, that's not what I would call a Vedas Kochavim, almost a Chuli Alma. The Ger Toshav, that's a big Chiddush. Well, not such a big Chiddush. But that's very important. Make note of that. He's saying, and even a Gertosha, someone who's shown her, Zion Mitzvah's Neinoah. I can't be Mechal Shabbos for Yishmaelis. I can't be Mechal Shabbos for Get Toshav. And the Karaim, and he goes on and on, all the little different groups. Right? He then he points out that many people are Machmir even under Rabbanans. So what? This is like unbelievable. We have to understand the Mishnah Berurah. We have to understand the Chafetz Chaim where he's coming from on this, and why nobody today follows this, as far as I know. There might be individuals who are letting non-Jews die. That might be going on. I don't know. But, I hope not. But, it needs to be put into perspective. Now, here's what I promised myself I would do. Since it's Wednesday and it's the short Seder, so I said I would absolutely stop at 1:45, so I'm going to do that. And we're going to have to work a little faster and take off again next week, finish up the Lach Lamais and see how we rescue ourselves from the striking statements of Mishnah Berurah. And you can tell me if I'm just fooling myself. I hope not, I don't think so. And then, as soon as we can, we're going to get into the real fascinating, astrophic implications of the entire thing.